microwaved coffee.
Yeah, maybe after this place we'll buy a place.
Yeah. That'd be cool.
Yeah.
Not here though. Definitely.
No. Arizona.
I hate HOA. Oh no, I didn't mean California. I meant like.
Not
I meant here. I meant Chula Vista.
Is HOA like? It's not like by location. It's just by.
It's pretty much just... everything here because they're new.
Yeah.
So everything that's like a new build. Which is basically everything on the other side of the freeway.
Got it.
Is all HOA. And it sucks. And it's expensive. And they're the worst.
Mm-hmm.
I have a hatred. Yeah. A burning, fiery hatred for the HOA.
I was trying to think. I was like, is there a way where I can work really hard to pass a law that bans HOA? I'm seriously like thinking about it. Like, that's how much I hate it that I'm, like, willing to, like, go to court or do something to try to pass a bill that says HOA is not a thing.
Yeah. The,
like, if I buy this property, it is my property, and you can't tell me how.
To, like, run my household.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
A lot of people have the argument that, like, oh, it keeps everything clean and nice. And I'm like, yep, and it doesn't stop there. Like, if HOA meant that they fixed that they kept the community clean and they had parks and golf courses, I'd be totally fine with that. It doesn't stop there.
Yeah.
Like, when we were at the other house, I legit could not do something in my backyard without their permission. My backyard! Like, who is going to see that? So,
yeah.
The worst.
Since that experience, because I lived there at that time, that put me off to anything.
Yeah, it's terrible.
Even though there are some advantages, but you know, at least most of them I see are not
an advantage. Not really. I'd rather take those $200 or more and put them somewhere else. Like, okay, a good place to have HOA if you live in a skyscraper.
Oh, yeah, exactly. There you go.
That is fine. Like, I was just, because I like looking at houses and stuff. I was looking at, like, some of the big apartments in downtown, and they have HOAs, but it makes sense. Like, they'll deliver food to you. It's like a hotel almost. Like, they keep maintenance on, like, the gyms, the pools. They clean the hallways. They clean the entrance. They, you know, that the money's going towards something. But every time I look at HOAs for, like, big areas, like, where we used to live, I, like, wonder why, like, what are they doing? Because you can't have too many plants anymore. The sidewalks, like, the grass on the sidewalks, that's the city, not the HOA. And
they do shit, like, they close, this is pre-COVID, but they close 3 of the 5 fucking pools.
Oh,
and I'm
like,
why am
that.
I paying you $200 a month if you're not going to have these open? Like,
I remember that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, why? Like, I don't understand what their purpose is other than to collect money. Mm-hmm. And I got in a fight with them because we had to pay something and I had to go to the office. And because it wasn't my mother-in-law, like, she called ahead and told them that I was going, and they wouldn't like accept the paycheck, and I literally sat in their office and I was like, I'm not leaving till you give me, you know, like the time and you take this money and you give me a receipt. Like, I'm just gonna sit here. And the secretary in the front desk was like, okay. I was like, yeah, I'm not leaving. Like, you can lock the doors, I'm gonna stay here.
I got in a big argument with them over the over, like, certain things they weren't taking care of. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I don't know why I'm paying you. And then they were, like, arguing with me about our front yard and how it needs to look nicer. And then that led to me being like, you guys don't do shit. I'm so sick of this. And I ended up, like, doing, like, a whole day's research and pulling up their revenue. And I was like, this is how much money you made last year. Where did this money go? Because according to you, you guys are short and you don't have money. And I was like, and this is not including what you pay your employees, so where is this money going? I was just like, you guys are the worst. So yeah, yeah. I wouldn't buy a place here.
Yeah, no. I mean, the only way I would is if it had like literally everything. If it had a decent sized backyard, if it had everything like that I wanted, that's the only way I would do it. But yeah. I haven't seen a house that's any different than like other houses that I would buy. Like in the style that they are and what they have on the inside. Like I'll see houses and I'll be like, well, I mean, I can fix a lot of things. So I'll be like, I can fix that. Like I can build that. I can, you know, so it doesn't really matter. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, it is what it is. It's unfortunately that's like the way it's going. I almost feel like I wish I was rich so I could buy a bunch of land, build houses, and then not charge people HOA. Just
like, yeah, just be like, just this is my property.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just buy one of those like gates in Eastlake. Yeah. Like the big ones. Oh my god.
That would be amazing. Build everyone a house.
We're like fucking Gwen Stefani had a house.
Yeah. And
who else said it? Nick Cannon used to live there too.
Oh really?
Yeah, Nick Cannon and Gwen Stefani.
So Mariah used to live there, Mariah Carey?
No, I think this is before. This is pre Mariah Carey. Yeah.
And now he's post Mariah Carey.
Yeah, exactly.
Every time anyone mentions him, I'm like, how is he so rich? Like what does he do?
I don't know either. He did like a bunch of variety shows and I'm like, TV don't pay that much, y'all.
Yeah, and he's like a really like when it like one time it came up that he had like a ton of like his net worth was a lot and I was like, how? What does he do? I never see him on anything other than that MTV show.
Yeah, I don't either. I'm like, where does he get his money?
He must be really good with his money.
Yeah, maybe. Anyway. Investments and whatnot.
Yeah.
Well, anyways, this is Microwave Coffee Podcast, and I'm Kishan Sundy.
And I'm Ivan Ortega.
And I'm Justin Park.
So we're recording this on a Tuesday, and tomorrow's St. Patrick's Day. Oh, yeah, today's Taco Tuesday, and tomorrow's St. Patrick's Day.
One in the same.
One in the same. Yeah, the Irish love we like drinking tacos. On both.
Yeah, the Irish like tacos and we like drinking. So.
Yeah. Speaking of Taco Tuesday on St. Patrick's Day, and since we're in San Diego, we're very close to Mexico. So let's talk about why St. Patrick's Day is a big deal in Mexico, which I did not know previous to this.
Because we like to drink.
I learned something. Yeah.
that TikTok where the guy's like telling his girlfriend is like he's Mexican, his girlfriend's white, and they park in front of the house and then he's like, oh no, I forgot to bring beer, and the girlfriend's like, it's a kid's birthday party, and he's like, I know, that's why. Like, I'm gonna feel stupid walking in without beer, and then she's like, why are you gonna get drunk at a birthday party? He's like, that's what we do. We find excuses to drink, and that's what we do.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's like, that's why I said you were driving us home.
Yeah, seriously.
It's very true.
We were planning my sister-in-law's baby shower, and she's from Argentina. And my mother-in-law and Kyle, my husband, being white, they were like, I was like, oh, I'll buy the beer. And my mother-in-law was like, what are you talking about? And I was like, yeah, the beer for the baby shower. And she was like, you're bringing beer to a baby shower? And I'm like, yeah, don't you? And she was like, no. And I was like, yeah. And she's like, but it's a baby shower. And I'm like, yeah, with adults and a baby that has not been born yet. Like, and I'm like, it's for the adults. And then like,
that's true.
When I showed up.
Very true.
With the beer, my sister-in-law was like, oh, thank you. Like, I totally forgot to. I'm like, yeah, it's what we do. Like, we
got this.
Yeah, you can have alcohol for some people, all right? Like, some people want to come to this, they only come for that. So,
yeah, my mom used to get so mad because my cousins would bring beer, like, to everybody. It didn't matter. It was like Easter, beer.
Beer.
Yeah, it didn't matter, like, what we were having.
Yeah.
It was just always, and she would get so mad.
Yeah. So anyways, we're going to go all the way back to February 8th, 1817, where a man named John Patrick O'Reilly was born in Galway, Ireland. And we don't know much about him growing up, but like a lot of immigrants, he changed his name when he came to the U.S. and went by John Riley instead. So he joined the British Army as a young man and ended up leaving because, as we know, the British weren't the nicest to the Irish or any other minority, for that matter. So he emigrated to Canada and eventually ended up in the U.S., living in Michigan. Riley enlisted in Company K of the 5th U.S. Infantry Regiment. This was...
Wait, I think I know what you're going to talk about.
Okay, yeah. This was the year... It was right before the Mexican-American War. And the U.S. had planned to invade Mexico because they wanted California and New Mexico. So the U.S. offered Mexico $5 million for New Mexico and $25 million for California. And Mexico basically told them to fuck right off. They were like, nope. So they, after that, of course, invaded. And when Riley discovered that the U.S. was going to invade Mexico, he was like, wait, taking land away from Catholics? I know how this story ends. And he was not having it. So he turned to his friend Patrick Dalton, who was also in the military with him, and said, we're definitely on the wrong side, right? And Dalton was like, yeah, no, for sure. And so they both deserted and then joined the Mexican army.
Yeah.
The other reason they were compelled to leave was that the treatment towards the Irish in the U.S. at the time was not great. It was not uncommon for you to pass a store or restaurants and see signs that read, one example is, help wanted, Irish need not apply. Another popular sign that they would have outside establishments was, no Irish, no blacks, no dogs. And Riley was like, I'm so tired of this trash. I hate these people.
Yeah.
So he knew he had made the right decision. In his journal, he once wrote, a more hospitable and friendly people than the Mexican, there exists not on the face of this earth, especially to an Irishman and a Catholic. So once joining the Mexican side, Riley created the Batallón de San Patricio, or the St. Patrick's Battalion.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's a great name.
It's great. So the battalion was mostly made up of Irish, but there was also German, Italian, Polish, English, and Scottish soldiers who all identified as Catholic. So this was mainly a union formed by religion, not so much like race. And there's different accounts of what their flag looked like. One description was by a journalist named George Wilkins Kendall, who was covering the war in Mexico at the time. He was describing the flag and he said, quote, the banner is of green silk and one side is a harp surmounted by the Mexican coat of arms with the scroll reading Libertad por la República Mexicana, which is liberty for the Mexican Republic. Under the harp is the motto, and I'm probably going to pronounce this wrong, Éireann go bra, which translates to Ireland forever in Irish. On the other side is a painting made to represent St. Patrick, on his left hand a key, and in his right hand a staff resting upon a serpent. Underneath it is painted, it reads San Patricio. I thought this was really funny, but their fellow Mexican soldiers affectionately referred to them as Los Colorados, due to how easily they would get sunburned and their red hair. That's adorable. So
Colorado means like
red. Yeah, Colorado basically means when you get red. When you either blush Colorado? When you blush or when you get sunburned, you're usually called Colorado. So the first battle was with the Mexican unit in the Battle of Monterrey on September 21st, 1846. And they were really successful, which was shocking because they're a relatively small group compared to the American Army. The St. Patrick's Battalion fought off an overwhelming amount of American soldiers. After the Battle of Monterrey, the battalion then traveled north and fought with Antonio López de Santa Anna, his army, and in the Battle of Buena Vista. Again, shocking everybody, the battalion took out a third of the American army present. Then American military leader, and later the 12th president of the United States, Zachary Taylor, basically said that they were a pain in his ass and we need to get rid of these people. And he ordered his army to, quote, take out the damned battery. They tried to recruit as many people as they could because Riley saw that the Mexican army was a lot smaller. Also, a lot of the people in the Mexican army were not trained previously, whereas American soldiers were trained to be soldiers. A lot of the Mexican armies were made up of, like, volunteers. And they started distributing pamphlets to try to get people to leave the American army and come to their side, or to get more volunteers to fight in Mexico. So they distributed pamphlets. One of them said, "You must not fight against religious people, nor should you be seen in the ranks of those who proclaim slavery of mankind as a constitution. Liberty is not part of those who desire to be lords of the world, robbing properties and territories which do not belong to them, and shedding so much blood in order to accomplish their views in open war to the principles of our holy religion." And they did end up getting a lot of people that would either leave the American army and come over, or Mexican volunteers. But even with the large amount of soldiers joining them from the other side, they were still outnumbered. So, unfortunately, we don't have that many details of the wars themselves. There was, I think, a total of 3 major battles that they fought during the war.
Mm-hmm.
And their final battle was on August 20th of 1847. This was during the Battle of Churubusco. They were outnumbered in weapons and soldiers, and the Mexican armies were unfortunately defeated. 60% of the battalion was either killed or captured. Riley was captured and ordered to trial for being a traitor. Now, here's the problem. They tried to take him to court several times after he was captured. As someone who defected or who abandoned.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem was that he technically left before the war. So he's technically not a traitor because he wasn't in war at the time. Like, he didn't leave during wartime.
Yeah.
So they couldn't get him on that. But of course, they found a way to torture him. The entire battalion that was caught was brutally tortured. They took Riley and they branded him on the cheek with the letter D for deserter. Mm-hmm. Except the asshole who did it did the branding and had the letter facing the wrong way. And so he was like, oops. And so they did it on his other cheek as well. Yeah, horrible, horrible.
Oh my God.
The Americans captured a total of 85 men in the battalion. They then picked out the 50 Irish members and killed them in one of the largest hangings in North American history. As a final act of defiance, the men cheered and saluted the Mexican flag. The hanging was ordered by Colonel William Harney, and journalists were horrified that were present at the hanging because, one, they only picked out the Irish members. And so they were like, this is definitely an attack on the Irish, and it's, like, very personal.
Mm-hmm.
And when journalists wrote about it, they said it was unnecessary torture of the men, as the bodies were left hanging well after they had passed away. Colonel Harney, who did the hanging, stated, quote, "I was instructed to hang them and have no orders to unhang them." So he just left their bodies there.
Dang.
Yeah. John Riley did manage to escape after being tortured. He then rejoined the Mexican army, and he was given the rank of major and he fought until his retirement in 1850 due to yellow fever. Riley, they don't know exactly how he passed away. They just know that he passed away on October 5th of 1850 in Veracruz, Mexico. He was 33 years old.
Wow.
I was like,
dang,
I haven't done shit with my life. This man became like a war hero at 33, and I'm like, oh my god. So yeah, that's pretty much it. There are celebrations every year in Mexico honoring the Irish soldiers on both St. Patrick's Day and on Mexican Independence Day. So some of the many tributes that you'll find in Mexico are, for example, there is a street in front of an Irish school in Monterrey, and it's called Batallón de San Patricio. In Mexico City, you'll find that the street in front of Santa María de Churubusco, there's a convent there, and it's called Martires Irlandeses, which translates to the Irish Martyrs. And if you look at the Wall of Honor in Mexico's Chamber of Deputies, you will see a tribute to the St. Patrick's Battalion. There also, this is just like a one-off, but for one day on St. Patrick's Day in 2015, they changed the name of the Metro Zapata station and renamed it Metro San Patricio. And had like a ceremony around them. Former President Vicente Fox said, "The affinities between Ireland and Mexico go back to the first years of our nation when our country fought to preserve its national sovereignty. Then a brave group of Irish soldiers, in a heroic gesture, decided to fight against the foreign ground invasion." Also a quote from former Mexican President Ernesto Zedillo said, quote, "Members of the St. Patrick's Battalion were executed for following their conscience. They were martyred for adhering to the highest ideals, and we honor their memory. In the name of the people of Mexico, I salute today the people of Ireland and express my eternal gratitude." And just to leave you on a fun fact, John Riley did have, I believe, two sons, and his descendant, Sean Cassidy, lives in San Diego. And he works as a journalist, and he's also an activist for immigration reform. So that's it. That's the story of the St. Patrick's Battalion. And thank you, as always, to Wikipedia, as well as LatinoRebels.com and Smithsonian Magazine.
So no, no relation to John C. Riley?
No. Maybe. Who knows? And then if you guys want to... If the listeners want to know more details other than my shitty research, there's a book, a really good book, and let me, of course I can, oh, by a man named Michael Hogan, and it's called The Irish Soldiers of Mexico. There's actually an audio version of the book also, if you're interested, so check that out.
Oh, nice.
But yeah.
Cool. Well, that's interesting.
Oh, and yeah. Thank you to Vanessa. So it's
tomorrow.
To our friend Vanessa for telling me to do this subject for St. Patrick's Day. Yeah.
Vanessa, my wife, Vanessa?
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, when you said,
our friend, I was like, wait,
oh, maybe it's Vanessa, which one? Other Vanessa.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. We do have a lot of Vanessas.
Also, I forgot, but for various reasons, we didn't shout out Vanessa for passing her
woo! Yeah!
Last week.
Oh, yeah.
Congrats.
And yeah, so she started a new job, and yeah,
that's it's great. All very that exciting
on up
right
yeah.
away
yeah I know right like right away
that's nuts
yeah
yeah what does it feel like to have people call you for a job?
Yeah.
Yeah.
what can we do?
What's that like?
Hired and signed today.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's been so long that at this point I would think it's a cruel joke if somebody called me.
Yeah.
Work.
Who are you? Find you. 6 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. It's crazy.
Yeah.
3 years of no life.
Hard work. Very hard work. Well deserved.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really hard.
Yeah. So where can they find us?
Oh, yeah. You guys can find us on Instagram at Microwave Coffee Podcast. And you can email us at
mygravecoffeepodcast@gmail.com.
And yeah.
Cool.
Hopefully we're a little bit more active now that, according to Joe Biden, by summer we're all going to have a vaccine.
I really hope so.
Yeah. So we'll
see. Tired of this shit. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anywho. Right. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, everyone.
Yeah. We'll see you next week.
Bye. Yeah.
Bye.
Could I get some more coffee?